This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and we have one of the most special guests I've ever had on my show. His name is William Daniel. He has a new book out called There I Go Again, How I Came to Be Mr. Feeney, John Adams, Dr. Craig, Kit, and many others, and it's just published from Potomac Books, and he's here to talk about it. Hello!
Hello!
Is that Potomac or Potomac? Potomac, I guess it is, right?
Potomac.
I messed it up already.
Oh, yeah. P-O-T-O-M-A-C.
Yeah. And I'm just amazed. And you just had a birthday. I need to say happy birthday to you. You're 90 years old. Is that true?
That's true.
You sound so young.
Oh, well, I'm trying to hang in there, you know. I practically ignored this birthday.
Why was that?
It sounds like such a large number.
It does. But, I mean, what you've accomplished is, I can't even begin to tell you what it has meant to the people that have enjoyed what you've done. I mean, and I was just watching an episode of Saying Elsewhere from YouTube, and just the presence you have had on TV, and still have, when you were on Girl Meets World, that's not on TV, regular TV, is it, or is it?
Girl Meets World.
Yeah, that you're doing you're in the process of doing that now too, right?
I think I finished with it. Actually, it's on regular TV.
It is. Okay,
cable.
I wasn't. There's so many. There's
cable.
It's on cable. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still. I mean, what I was going to say is, the presence that you have on all these shows that you do is unbelievable. I mean, you're like, it's like. Watching you is an amazing thing. I mean, on Saying Elsewhere, on listening to your voice on Knight Rider, and I mean, you have such a commanding voice and presence. It's just remarkable.
Well, I don't know what to say to that. I guess it's nice to hear, since I am a performer.
I mean, I used to watch Saying Elsewhere. I'd sit in my room, watch the show, and just enjoy the dramatics. I mean, all the stuff that was going on. And what an amazing experience it was. I mean, just the music, I mean, the acting, everything.
Yeah, the whole company was very distinguished, I think. And the scripts were great. And Tom Fontana and his writers were great, providing us with such material. And it was a very happy occasion.
And the angrier you got, the more fun it was to watch.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, seriously, it was an amazing experience. And I mean, just going back and watching some of them. Now, I think the only one that's on DVD is the first season right now. I don't know why that is, and I'm not very happy about that. And they don't show it on reruns on TV that I've ever seen.
I see. I don't think so. I don't know exactly what happened to it. I think perhaps the producer sold it all to England or something like that. I don't know how. To tell you the truth, I don't really know what happened to it.
Right. Well, I hope we get it back someday, because I would love to see it all over again. I
mean,
Is it true that Norman Lloyd is still alive at 102 years old? Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
I can't believe that.
And he is a joy to be with. I mean, he goes all the way back to Orson Welles and all of those people, Hitchcock, and he has more wonderful stories to listen to. I had lunch with him a few months ago, and, you know, he's just a pleasure.
And he started all the way back on
Sharpest Attack.
On Alfred Hitchcock Presents, I think. Was he a producer on that show or something to do with it, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he produced. He also may have acted in it. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I
know he did his films. Yeah.
So my first question is, how is your health today?
Today?
Yes.
A little chest congestion, but other than that, I'm feeling fine.
Well, in general too. It sounds like you're doing pretty well. You're an amazing man.
Sure. Yeah, I am. I don't feel my age, but which is nice. And, you know, I'm a lucky show.
And we're lucky to have you, to have had you, and to have you around still. I mean, and it's just...
Yeah, good.
Would you like to work until you're 100 years old?
Oh, I don't know about that. It really depends upon the money and the part. That's always been the way with me.
So the five scripts that you got for Saint Elsewhere, you talk about the scripts you got. Were they actually shows that were filmed?
Yes.
They were.
I think they were the first five shows.
Amazing.
If I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Bonnie?
Yes.
Yeah. They were scripts for the first five shows, and Bruce Paltrow sent them to me and said, Bill, you know, if you'd like to do Dr. Craig, we'd be happy to have you. And I could see it was well written, you know. So I joined up.
And what an amazing I can't imagine what it was like for you. I think there were like 137 episodes total. I think it says you were in every one. Were you actually in every episode?
I may have missed one or two. I'm not sure.
No, you were in every one.
I was in every one. Yeah,
wow.
I guess I was in every one. Yeah.
What was it like for you guys to work together? I mean, was it hard at first? Did it flow easily working together on St. Elsewhere?
No, it wasn't hard. It was easy. Bonnie, you have a couple of stories on that.
She's laughing already.
We worked together very well because we constantly bicker and fight, and so it works out very well.
Really?
We have a good time.
And what you've been through together, I mean, I'm very, very sorry to hear what happened to your son. That devastated me when I read that because I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something you guys talked about, I guess.
No.
Until this book. And
yeah.
I had no idea that was coming. And, you know, it was a shock to me.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Well,
but
I had to include it.
Yeah. And that's what I love about this book. It's an honest book. I mean, there's so much honesty in it. I mean, we get to see what you felt about everything that was going on in your life.
I see. Well, I'm glad to hear that. It never occurred to me to do anything but tell it the way it all happened.
I just felt, and the more I got into this book, the more I was, like, riveted to see, you know, where you were going next. I mean, you were constantly being offered things on Broadway, I mean, over and over and over again. And
yeah, uh-huh.
Your different experiences on the different shows are just amazing to read. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
How have you had so much patience over the years?
Patience?
Yeah, or don't you have any?
I'm not sure I do. My feeling about it all is that I've been very fortunate. Things have come along that have been very nice for me to do. They've been right for me to do, and it's all been a challenge, and I worked hard at some of it and worked easy at others, but overall, it's been a very pleasant experience.
Well, obviously, you're a very, very intelligent man. I mean, that goes without saying. We just have to watch you on whatever you're in, and I sense that you're a very intelligent man.
I don't know. You'd have to speak to my wife about that.
I think we will later. But I mean, I watched 1776 last night, just parts of it, just to get an idea.
Oh, really?
Of it. Just amazing to watch you. I mean, I can't imagine that movie without you. And just all the actors, Howard De Silva, my God.
Yes, it was a wonderful cast, and the picture was good too. It didn't quite have the style that the stage production had, but the film is so much more realistic, you know. The theater is a little bit more magic. The proscenium stage and the audience live and all of that, it makes quite a different experience. But overall, the film, I think, is successful. And certainly the show was successful because I did it for 2 years.
I mean, you just have the most magnificent voice. I mean,
I do.
I think so. I mean, I don't know who would argue with that. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, I know you've done a lot of voiceover stuff, including
yes.
Kit. But I mean,
yes, I have done that, and of course, Kit on Knight Rider. I have done a lot of voiceover stuff.
So the acting, do you? Did you always enjoy acting? I know there were times where you weren't so sure it was what you wanted to do, and you started dancing at four, but was the acting, did you take to the acting right away?
Well, yes, I did, because of the experience I had with Life with Father, and coming across a man of the theater, the co-author, Howard Lindsay, who was made a great impression on me. He was a bit of a mentor for me as to how I should follow in my career after he knew I'd be going into the Army. And after that, I followed his advice. I think that's all in the book, but he was a great influence on me, and he was a wonderful man of the theater.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's just that one person that can change your whole life.
Yes. Yes, I would say he did it for me, because I wasn't quite sure whether I wanted to be an actor or not, but just seeing him and rehearsing with him, because I was very fortunate, as I say in the book, of going from assistant stage manager into the second oldest boy as Mr. Lindsay and Miss Stickney came back after taking a year off, and so I got to rehearse with them as they brushed up in their parts. So it was a very wonderful experience for me, because he gave me a lot of different advice that I have used ever since.
What being on the stage, live theater, there's nothing like it, of course. I mean, it's just an amazing experience.
There isn't.
And what is that like for you? I mean, are you like really nervous before a performance?
I think everybody is a little nervous before a performance. Those who aren't, I don't quite understand. Some of the great ones, I think Bonnie, didn't Kim Stanley get very upset before she went on? Hello, Bonnie?
Yes.
Are you there?
I am listening. I'm trying to stay out of it.
I know Barbara Streisand did. She talks about that. I mean, big time.
Yeah.
So that's pretty standard, to feel that nervousness, that trepidation as far as what's going to, I mean, am I going to remember all my lines? Have you always been able to remember lines pretty well?
That's practically the only thing I do well in terms of memory.
No, that's not true. But Bonnie had a big experience in Love of Life doing memorizing lines. It doesn't get much harder than that.
That couldn't be worse. Couldn't be harder.
How did you get through that? How did you do that?
Well, I learned to learn it in paragraphs. I learned to learn... I would learn five scripts over the weekend, but not terribly specifically. Learning the ideas of the lines and stuff like that, then going back and making them more specific. But as to sitting down, and I cannot learn word. Bill can go out and sit by the pool and just speak them until he learns them, and I can't do that. I do it differently. I just do it by the thought, and then the lines come in together with the thought, and that's the way I like to do it. But it's very different, and it probably takes more time that way. I'm not sure. But I used to be so tense before those shows in the beginning. Oh my God, it was hard. Live. And the tension is, and that's not good for your acting. It's good for discipline,
right?
And it's good for certainty, but it's not good for your acting to be tense.
I can't imagine how many pages you had per day.
Well, I would have like 30 pages.
Oh my God.
It was awful.
And you did that for how long?
Three and a half years. Yeah. But I had a wonderful director. He's still alive, and he's just retired from USC teaching. His name was Larry Auerbach, and he was just a love of a director, just lovely.
Now, can I ask you guys
how... He got me through a lot of tough spots.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask how long you've been married?
What is it, Bill? 65 or... I think 66 years.
That's amazing.
66 years.
So what's the secret? What would you tell people out there who... I mean, the secret is...
Of a long marriage?
Yes.
I think so. Mutual respect, certainly in our performances, but also in our lives. mutual respect for our individual persons, our personalities, and so forth. We're still kind of in love, you know.
Well, we basically like each other a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
And we like to be with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there've been rough patches. There really have been. There've been some tough times.
Well, that's true of I would think any marriage. Look at Richard Taylor, Richard Burton, and Elizabeth Taylor. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, you can only imagine what they went through behind closed doors. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I know, but
no
I mean,
idea.
But I mean, you hear so much. Of course, you don't know what to believe anymore. Anyway, there's so much. There's so much extra that's thrown
in. I mean, they were such disparate people, and she was so. What can I say? So movie star. She was so. Well, you know, she made people pay for everything.
Mm.
Right, she made you pay. I mean, she knew how she demanded, and she liked to play, and she did work. I worked with her once, and she does her job, but it's not. And she'll say, somebody. I remember a director said to me that he was walking down the street with her. He said, "Elizabeth, what do I have to do to get you to be on time?"
Mm.
She said, "Well, you could buy me that fur coat." So it was like. If you gave her a present, she'd behave. You know, there's a very childish thing to her. And, of course, Burton, was from the mines in Wales. And, you know, he could have been a great, great actor if he had kept going.
Yeah.
He really could have been, but he chose not to. And that's his choice.
Now, when you guys were on elsewhere together, would you bring the work home? Would you practice at home?
Sometimes.
What was that like?
All dependent on what if it was hard or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you'd come home.
It was a difficult scene, yeah.
Yeah. I you look at some of those actors. I was watching David Morse on the YouTube. An unbelievable actor. I mean,
wasn't he great?
To bring so much out of yourself and to be so sympathetic.
Oh, he's so lovely, yeah.
So Mark Craig was not the most likable character in the world.
No.
To say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a scene with you and I think it was Ed Flanders where he tells you exactly what's wrong with you, and it's just so much fun to watch. I mean, oh my God, he's being put in his place, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when Edith turned on Archie on the on
yeah.
The family,
well, the writers had me pretty good there.
And
Eddie was so great.
Yeah. You ask him a question, he's going to tell you the answer. You know, that's.
Yep. Eddie was such a lovely actor, and he and Bill were so lovely together, and I cherished the times when I could get in with them and be a third person in the scene. It was just so much fun to work with them.
How would you work, and I don't know that this has ever happened, but how would you work with an actor if you didn't get along with them and they were on the show? What would happen? What would you do? How would you handle that?
Well, first of all, I don't know who I didn't get along with.
Yeah.
I mean, getting along, there's a personal aspect to that, which is removed from the acting. But when you're on the set, I've never been with people who were difficult that, you know, some of them were insecure and needed more takes than you would have liked to have been a part of.
But other than that, you know. And you know something? No actor wants to be bad. No actor goes out to be bad in
right.
the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're on the set working, even if you hate each other, you're going to be doing the best you can.
Yep.
So did you guys watch your performances? Would you watch the show?
Bill doesn't. I do.
No, I don't.
I like to watch everything. He doesn't want to see anything.
But you're so great at what you do, Bill. Why wouldn't you want to watch it?
Probably because when I had the occasion to do that, which was very seldom, I didn't like what I saw. I thought it would be better than it was.
Yeah.
You know what? He did have a poor self-image, so that he never thinks of himself as one of, you know, like De Niro or or Dustin or people like that. He just doesn't think of himself in that category. He's very surprised that he has all of this attention now. He's totally surprised that people think so much of him.
So, Bill, what was this? What was writing this book like? Was it really cathartic for you to let out with all this stuff? Just a total honesty about everything.
I tell you, I think, as I said in the book, I hadn't planned it. I didn't research it. I just one day picked up a pencil and started writing. And I said to myself, why are you doing this? And then I came up with a couple of different answers, but one of them was an attempt to recapture the memory of the things that I went through in my career. And as you start to write, a lot of things come back, and you relive it. Some of it I found painful. Some of it brought tears, particularly when we were young, my sister and I, and what we went through there. It was a kind of a discovery, a recapturing of all that, and I don't think that hurt you, although it may move you at the time. You get a sense of where you've been and what you've done. And actually, I've been pretty successful, considering. And, my mother used to say, don't get a swell head. Well, I don't know about that. But all I know is on going over it all, I'm kind of pleased with how it all turned out.
I can only imagine waking up in the morning knowing you're going to do a show like Saying Elsewhere and just being over the moon excited about the scenes you were going to play.
Sure. I loved going over there and doing it because, first of all, it was so well written, and secondly, that the talent Paltrow got to come on the show, who did you mention just now? David Morrison.
Right, David Morrison.
And, all those people. And then, it was a kind of a show where all of the really good actors in town wanted to be on it as a guest star. And so we got a lot of very prominent people who were very anxious to come on and did come on to the show. And that was always a great experience when they came aboard,
Everything just clicked so well on that show. I mean, everything. Yeah. I mean, I can't think of anything that didn't. And there was even some comedic element and some weird elements to the show, too.
Oh, I know. And I think that was a very important part of it, I think I watch some of these drama shows sometime, and I think, what would really help the show if they would inject a little humor in it and not take themselves so seriously.
Right, exactly. I don't watch a lot of medical shows, but Saying Elsewhere, I'd never missed. It's just an extraordinary show. I mean, and I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, and I know you were on Grey's Anatomy.
Yes, I guess I was. So was Bonnie.
But I
know what you mean.
But it's just not the same for me as watching you guys. It's not the same ensemble. It's not the same moving episodes that they had back then.
Yeah.
Now it's more more of a soap opera kind of thing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't like that too much.
Yes.
I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
So now Boy Meets World was another big one for you. And Michael Jacobs, sounds like Michael Jacobs was really, really good to you.
Oh, yes. We became great friends. And I miss him now. He's down in Florida. I often think about getting his phone number and calling and talking him just to hear his voice because we got along so well. And what he said I should expect I'm coming on the show, he delivered that promise that he wouldn't belittle this teacher or make fun of this teacher or anything like that. I was against that. And so so it all worked out very well. And there was at one point when I came back onto, I guess it was Girl in His World, where he just came over to me in my ear. He said, I love you. And I said, I love you too. we just, it was just mutual respect. I'm eternally grateful.
Oh, amazing. I mean, just to hear about it, it moves me to hear what you've been through. I mean, I can't imagine what the last day on each of those shows was like, on St. Elsewhere and William H. Ward. It must have been totally, you must have come home crying.
It was very moving. You had to work hard to control your emotions because it had been such a wonderful experience, and that it was coming to an end. I had to be sad and filled with all the thoughts that went by, all the experiences. The last show wasn't easy to do. No.
I can only imagine what it was like.
Yeah.
What was the hardest part about this book to write? I mean, what was there a certain part that was harder to write than others, or was it all pretty difficult?
What was the hardest part?
About writing the book. I mean, were there certain parts that were hard to write for you?
Punctuation. No, that doesn't work.
Punctuation.
I don't have much of,
The part about the union.
Oh, yeah, that, yes. Talking about my experiences as a president of the Screen Actors Guild for the 2 years that I was, and going through a six-month commercial strike, it was a difficult time. And I'm proud of what we got from it, but at the same time, there were enemies on the other side of the spectrum at the Guild, and that was not easy to, to suddenly volunteer to be run for president, and then find you've inherited a whole group who hate you. They're just playing enemies because they're on the other side of the spectrum.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine what that was like for you.
Yeah, that's not much fun.
And you really just wanted to act.
No, but I went through it and came out with some very close friends. And that's important. And we came out with a really good commercial contract, and that was important. So, and other things, too. That we came out with a contract. Anyway, it was a good experience, and I didn't want to do another term, though.
No.
So I just did it for 2 years.
It sounded like it was really stressful for you. I mean, really, really
stressful. Yeah, it was. Going to New York constantly, and sitting down opposite people who say, no, you're not getting another dime. And then knowing they go back to the people who hired them to just sit there and say no to you across the table. And then have those same people tell you, give them the money. And then he comes back and says, we have the money. I said, I beg your pardon. He said, we have the money. This is the guy who said we had no money.
What was it like for you, Bonnie, going through that with him? I mean, you're there watching him suffer. That must have been difficult for you.
I was so surprised that he wanted to do it. And then once he got in it, he really wanted to get out.
Yes.
And I said, you can't do that. They voted for you. You've got to do this now. You know, you cannot get out of this. And people have voted for you, and this is it. But it was really, I had to jump in all the time. I had to be there all the time. Because it was, he's the worst politician, you know, that you could possibly have. So he was just, he just thought, they all hate me. Why can't I get out? They all hate me. And but he did the job. We made him do the job. He and myself and a bunch of the new friends that we made over there, we just insisted, and he did it. And it was good. It was good what he did. But he sure needed a lot of help because that was not a natural role for Bill.
No,
not at all.
So we're doing Broadway, doing TV. Which did you prefer, one or the other?
Well, they're two different experiences, and if you but they're different experiences. If you were to say which of them gave you the most personal satisfaction, and it would satisfaction in the theater, where you go on to, live to an audience who's sitting out there in front and who are wrestling their pages and so forth, and men who probably don't even want to be there, and to try to get their attention and have them listen to what you're saying. That was always a challenge, but it was also a great satisfaction when you got it right.
Mm-hmm. But television could provide that also.
You don't know how it's going over to an audience.
Oh, okay. So, oh, that's, you don't get the live feedback is what you're saying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's true too. That's,
yeah.
I mean, I every play that I've ever seen, I, you know, you just, it's such a thrill to watch these and watch everything happening in front of you, knowing they're
that's
so
right.
good and they're not making mistakes, and you just don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you write about Jason Robards in your book, and I, you know, I just hearing what you had to say about him, it just was making me upset for you.
I forget what I said.
Well, he liked to drink a lot.
Oh God, yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
Which I'm
Is
sure.
Is that your phone, Bonnie?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go get it.
Okay.
Which isn't.
There's somebody on the other line. Yes, Jason was a force, a very fine actor. But he had a drinking problem. And, he would behave during the week, but then Saturday night he'd go off on a binge. And,
right.
And sometimes stay on it on Sunday and come in Monday and still drunk. And it wasn't really a happy experience, particularly for the young boy in it who had so many scenes with him. Because Jason often went on the stage half-looped and wouldn't sober up until he went through the whole first act.
Right.
That kind of thing, you know.
Now, at four, you're dancing at four. Your mother's got you, and I'm not exactly fond of what your mother was doing to you. That kind of upsets me, because I knew it upset you, and just reading about it, she was driving you like crazy to do these things, and you weren't necessarily enjoying yourself, were you?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't enjoying myself. We were doing this for my mother. She was out in the audience, and it was for her. And I'm sure Jackie felt the same way, my sister. She was the audience, as far as we're concerned, out there in the back, and we did it for her. No, I didn't enjoy it. In fact, I didn't understand the pressure that I was going through, but there is pressure there, and I think I wrote about the first time I became aware of how nervous we were when we saw, what was it, Eddie Cantor or somebody like that, being forced to come on because Walter Winchell was demanding that he appear, and how nervous he was. And of course, when he got on the stage, he was fine. And that happens with you too. Once you get performing, it all drops away. But the anticipatory anxiety is tremendous.
Now, you got to work with one of the people that I would give anything to have met in my lifetime, and that's Elizabeth Montgomery. There's something about that woman that always thrilled me to see on TV. What was she like to work with? How was she as a
very
person?
Very professional. We were not close, but she was very professional and easy to work with. And I don't know how happy a life her personal life was. I didn't get to know her on that level.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed working with her, yes.
I mean, Bewitched was like the thing that everybody just loved,
oh, yes,
I guess.
But, yes,
I mean,
yes. She had a wonderful quality to her, and also a light comedic touch, which was nice.
And you know, and that's the thing with you and her and Lucille Ball, the facial expressions that you guys are able to deliver are just phenomenal. I mean, they're just the way you look at the way you used to look at people on St. Elsewhere. And I don't want to talk about that too. I want to talk about Ed Begley Jr. Your scenes with him were always just over the top. You must have had a blast filming them.
Oh, sure. Mutt and Jeff. Well, I would, first of all, he treated me sort of like a senior, which I was. He was a television actor. He didn't know his lines when it came on.
Right.
And, of course, I always knew my lines, so I made life a little bit miserable for him, saying, when you learn the lines, maybe we could get this down to where it should be, and I'd make remarks like that. But he took it easily because we were very, very close and friendly.
Do you think that made him a better actor?
I still love him. I see him over here occasionally.
Right. Do you think that made him a better actor, the fact that you were getting on him?
I don't know. I wouldn't be presumptuous to say that.
I mean, but did his performance get better as the 6 years went on?
I assume it did. I think it did for all of us.
Yeah.
You get into a character, and that's the joy of doing a character for me anyway, over a long period of time, you get to work on it. You get to add things to it. The script will take you through all sorts of situations on St. Elsewhere, losing our son, so many different things that it's sort of like you've gone through a lifetime with this character.
I'm trying to remember, did you ever laugh on St. Elsewhere on the show? Did we ever see you laugh?
I can't think of it. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think we've ever laughed.
So. No. Hopefully some people were laughing at me. But, he was very human, and he, you know, I'm thinking of that time when he lectured how he got his wife to stop smoking.
Right, yes.
You know, and then we see her smoking. I mean, he was very human that way. And
you know what my favorite line was?
What's that?
When you came down, you said, "Ellen, there's a Negro in my pajamas."
There's a Negro in my pajamas.
Yeah, Eric had gone up. He was sick. Eric had gone upstairs. I gave him some of your pajamas and put him to bed or something. And you said, "There's a Negro in my pajamas." That knocked me out.
Yes.
It was funny how that some things just stick with you for such a long. What when you think back to St. Elsewhere today? What stands out the most for you, for both of you?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, is there anything...
I have to say the writing.
Yeah.
That's what? The writing. I mean, it's so wonderful to get scripts are so good.
Didn't Doris Roberts win an Emmy for when she was on?
She did. Yes, she
sure.
did.
What
sure
was she? She
came on and guest starred with Jimmy Coco, and they both were wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The one I was watching earlier had Kate Mulgrew in it and Brian Kerwin.
Yeah.
They were both in it. And Kate Mulgrew's got she's got another one of those voices that's so commanding. It's just so wonderful to hear.
Who was that? Kate Mulgrew, Bill. So kind of Catherine Hepburn-ish.
Yes, right.
So you guys would go into work every week and there'd be another guest star, a lot of times somebody famous, somebody that was well known. I mean, that must have been a
Eva
thrill.
Eva McGallion.
Yes.
Norman Lloyd went in and gave her flowers and greeted her because he, of course, knew her.
Mm-hmm.
But Eva LaGallion, my God, that's like or somebody. You know?
Where did you two meet? Where did you two first meet?
Northwestern.
Oh, you went and met at Northwestern. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's in the book. It must be.
Book. There's a whole. Oh yeah, go west, young man, to Northwestern.
You're both very brutally honest about things, and I find that very refreshing.
Well, why not? You know,
well, it's not easy.
If you're not honest, then people can't trust you.
That's certainly true.
I mean, aren't you seeing that in the politics?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have to be.
Yeah, it's certainly true, but it's not easy to be honest all the time.
No,
I guess I must say I find it very easy.
I think Bill. It sounds like Bill does too.
No, I'm afraid that that wasn't always so easy with her honesty.
So I hesitate to ask this question and tell me to shut up if it's too personal. But your sisters, I'm curious. What I know, one of them went into entertainment, or did both of them?
Both of them.
Okay. What? Where did through their whole lives they were entertainers?
Say that again.
Are either of them still alive?
Bill, I'll take this question. This is very painful for him.
Yeah, that's what
they both had rather sad lives. One is still alive, Carol, the little one, but Bill hasn't seen her for years because she has excluded herself from the family.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It was a kind of he really doesn't want to talk about it. Maybe sometime I'll write something and I'll write about it because it's really very tragic, both of them.
Right. I was just curious, and forgive me for being curious.
It's not good, and I'll tell you why. The reason, and this is what's important in the thing about the child abuse and all that stuff, is that their lives were ruined because of their mothers putting them into show business, and they never learned how to live and take care of themselves, and they had very low self-images, and it was very sad to me as a woman watching them. I mean, I had some problems too, but they really never learned to take care of themselves.
They were
because their mother told them what to do all the time.
Wow.
And you know, if we could survive our mothers, we'll be okay. But it's
Me, it was my father. So you know, I guess
it was your father.
Yeah. My father was very strict and, you know, very religious and you're going to hell kind of thing. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Horrible. I mean, just intimating that people were awful and, you know, and he would yell at people and tell them they were wrong and, you know, it was too much, you know. Very, very judgmental, and that's a dangerous way to be.
It is. Yeah.
Because we all have to live in this world. We all should be able to get along with each other.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys enjoy doing together today? And what did you enjoy doing together while you were filming St. Elsewhere, When You Meet Squirrel? What kind of things would you do?
Well, during St. Elsewhere, during the hiatus, we usually took trips to Europe, to France, to Italy, to England, and so forth.
The major ones were those boat trips in Greece and Turkey.
And then those wonderful boat trips. We had a bunch of friends, not a bunch, but say four or five.
About four couples.
Yes. And we rented a boat all to ourselves, and we went around all of the islands in the Aegean. And we did that, two or three times?
Three times.
Must have been very enjoyable.
Those were wonderful trips. You'd get off at the islands and wander around the island, and then late
and eat.
Eat. Oh, late at night you'd eat. Oh, God, it was good.
So, Bill, you talk in the book about you recommended some mystery authors to your father. Your father was a big reader? Is that?
No.
Who was
it? My father was not a reader.
There was something in the book about recommending mystery authors to somebody.
At the end, Bill, when he was, you would take him to the library.
Oh, yes, and he would get those big books with the
big print.
The big print because of his sight.
I'm curious some of the writers he would...
He would read, he'd go through three or four books a week, and I'd take him to the... take them back and take him and pick out some other stuff for him to read. And we did that quite a lot. And his favorite expression was, let's go have a cuppa.
Right.
And meaning, we'll sit down, have a cup of coffee and...
Coffee and,
he'd call it. And
do you remember any of the authors that he read?
Agatha Christie, usual ones.
Right.
I can't come up with some of the names now, but...
Right. Maybe Dorothy Sayers?
He was a great reader, actually. Actually, my father led a disappointing life. They put him to work when he was very young, and he had opportunities to go on to higher education offers from schools, and they put him to work instead. It was those kind of times in Brooklyn. And because he had the potential of going a lot further if he had been left alone and not pushed the way he was.
So do you read a lot?
I do a lot, yes.
What do you like to read? What kinds of things do you read?
I read all kinds of things. I have a list to get right now. What's on the list? Jane Murray's Mayer's book called what is it? Black Blood or something about blood?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about
the Koch brothers
and
he watches MSNBC a lot. He watches the news.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what's the secret?
I just keep my fingers crossed that this country can get past Mr. Trump,
right,
and get on to somebody who's a little more prepared for the job.
Right. What's the secret to keeping? You both have really sharp minds. I mean, you're very much there. You're very much aware. What's the secret to being that way? What have you done that's kept your mind so sharp?
Gee, I don't know.
Work.
Work has done
work.
It?
Oh, yeah, work.
Work.
Well.
You gotta work. You gotta keep working.
Mm-hmm.
You keep that brain functioning. I mean, you always have
that's
to...
Right. That's right.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
Right. Are you still working on Girl Meets World, or is that...
That's closed now. That's off the air.
Oh, it's off the air. Okay, so it is done. Okay. So is there anything in the works now that you're going to be doing?
No, not that I know of.
I just did two episodes on a show called Better Call Saul.
Oh, my God, really?
Very interesting show. Very interesting.
Well, when will those air?
They're the last two episodes of the third season, and I think the third season has started now, but so it'll be the last two episodes of that.
That's exciting, Bonnie.
And I found that a very interesting show.
Now, are you going to do any more, or is... Or
well, no, that was just it was just a fluky kind of thing. I didn't know much about it, and I didn't kind of like, once I got there, I didn't want to do it, but I ended up enjoying it because the gentleman who is the lead, Bob Odenkirk, is really, really an interesting actor.
he certainly, I mean, Breaking Bad was a masterpiece as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, so that's where, I enjoyed that a lot. He should bring Bill on. He should bring Bill on that show.
Oh, God, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I know it's in, I think it started already. I think it started the
I think so. The third season's already started.
So I think there's about eight episodes in a quarter, so it's probably going to be on in the next 4 or 5 weeks, I would think. I can't wait to see it. That's exciting.
Well, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
How long of a process was it? I mean, how long were you there filming?
Well, I had to go back and forth to Albuquerque about 4 weeks. I did two episodes and back and forth, you know, because I don't like to leave Bill too long.
So, Bill, what if you could be on any show today? What show would you like to be on?
I've never given a thought to that, to tell you the truth. So I really don't know. I'm a big fan of the law shows, Bonnie, with
Law and Order.
Yeah, Law and Order, Jerry Orbach show.
But those are long. Those are really old, though, Bill.
What's that?
Those are very old.
Oh, I know they are.
Except for the Mariska Hargitay one, still going strong. The Law and Order SUV.
SUV, yeah, he could do SUV.
There you go. I think we have a match there. I think that would be incredible.
Yeah.
And she's the daughter of Jane Mansfield, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
And I worked with her. She's just terrific. She's a lovely woman.
Now you met Marilyn Monroe, William? Bill, I'm sorry.
I did. No, Bonnie did. Well, we both did, actually. She came. She appeared in Lee Strasberg's acting class one day, and everybody was kind of taken back a little bit. And she became close with the Strasberg family, and Bonnie and I were also close with the Strasberg family, and Lee and Paul had a kind of a European Sunday, you know, where people came over who were in town and knew them, and, you know, from Hollywood and from all over, and you'd bump into all kinds of people over there on Sunday with Lee Strasberg serving everybody coffee and I don't know, pastries. But that's where I bumped into Marilyn. But Bonnie has more of a relationship with her, not a big relationship, but a little one. What was Bonnie? Tell him about that.
Oh, no, I just, it's not to tell. People ask so many things about Marilyn, and I mean, I did. I was with her a bit. She liked me. I liked her.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked to watch her work, and she liked to watch me work. And we were kind of the opposite side of the coin.
Did she really like to read? I hear that's what I've always heard, that she loved to read.
Well, I mean, she wanted to be an intellectual, and mm-hmm. she wasn't, you know, but so she loved people like Lee, an intellectual, and she married, what's his name, and
Arthur Miller,
certainly was an intellectual. Yes, she wanted to be considered more than what she was, but the thing is that she created a whole person out of this Marilyn Monroe. That's not who she was at all. So that when she's just herself without all of that, she's really kind of lost and has to... She was trying to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
She was trying to get educated. She was trying to catch up. She was trying to be a really good actress. But she she created this person, and that's what sold, and that's what people wanted.
Mm.
But she wasn't like that at all.
Interesting.
You know, she really was. It was a creation.
People, there'll never not be a fascination with her. I mean, always.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you wonder what it was about her more than anybody else that created that. I mean, obviously, her beauty was a big part of that, but
it was because she created this character.
Hmm.
She created this character. It was not her. It was like, oh gosh, Cary Grant. He created this character that wasn't like him at all. You know? He was a little boring. Cary Grant was boring. But Marilyn, as a person, was just a very simple person.
Insecure.
Very insecure.
Now,
she had no education. She had no bringing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she had to go to the rough side of life in order to get ahead.
Now, Bill, how many performances of 1776 did you do? Is it something? It's a huge number, isn't it?
Was it 1,000, Bonnie?
I don't know. You did more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how many performances that is in a year, but 8 a week for 52 weeks, or 50 weeks with 2 weeks off.
What is that? I mean, obviously,
I didn't get 2 weeks off.
No, you didn't get 2 weeks off.
No, I didn't. So, I don't know, 400.
You probably did about 1,000.
Yeah, close to it. Anyway,
does the repetitiveness get to you at all? Ever, the fact that you're doing the same thing over and over, does that ever affect you, or is it just enjoyable all the way through?
Well, there are certain times when it's more enjoyable than others, but. What I had to do, to tell you the truth, after a while, because it was a very strenuous part, he was on the stage all the time, and he had a whole bunch of musical numbers and all of that, and, you know, I'm not much of a singer, but I had to sing a lot, and so I would have to, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, my stomach would kind of tighten up, because I knew I had to go in there and do it again.
Right.
Because it wasn't easy to do. And, however, that's all I was ever trained to do, was to perform, and that's what I did.
We have to go now.
Oh, we have to go now? Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm afraid
we have to end this.
I just want to tell you guys what a treasure, what a treat this has been, and the stuff that you guys have done for everybody was just amazing. Thank you so much for doing this.
Well, it was great talking to you, there.
And the book again is called There I Go Again by William Daniels, and it's from
Comic
Books. And this is David's Book Talk. We'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.